puesto a pensar que esta tierra es de nosotros y no del que tenga más.
Welcome back. We're now going to be accompanied by producer Moctezuma Esparza to the show. Mr. Esparza is a well-known producer in radio, television, and films. His films include Cinco Vidas, Survival, Drunk Drivers Gets Carried Away, Selena, and The Disappearance of Garcia Lorca. A native of Los Angeles, Esparza was a key figure in the organization of the Chicano Blowouts that his latest film, Walkout, is based on. So welcome to the show, Moctezuma Esparza.
Well, thank you for having me on. It's an honor.
We're very pleased to have you. So, you know, I don't know if you had a chance, but we had Edward James almost earlier. And one of the things that I was trying to sort of gather some thoughts on, how has it been, you were one of the key organizers. Everybody knows you were, I believe, a sophomore at UCLA, right? And
I was a freshman.
Oh, you were a freshman. And you were there. You made history in many ways. And how has it been, how have you processed in the making of this film? Has it taken you back? Has it given you some moment of reflection about where you were at and where you've been and where you want to go? Or,
well, I'll tell you that it's been a very emotional experience for me. All of the feelings that I thought I had processed, you know, that I'd let go, have been just rushing back at me. You know, it's an amazing thing. The subconscious has no reference to time. You know, you go into your inner life and time disappears. It's like I was there again. Mm. And, you know, I've done a tremendous amount of work on myself to just make myself the best person I could be and, you know, to let go of the rage that I had back then and the hurt that we all experienced. And every time I see the movie in its various versions, and at, you know, certain scenes that we filmed, I end up crying. I'm just like an emotional wreck. The first time I saw Eddie's assembly of the movie, I was a wreck for 2 days. I mean, I was just emotionally drained and crying and reliving all of this persecution and pain and injury that we all received back then, you know, and the struggle for our rights, which then I wasn't aware of. I mean, I wasn't, when you're in the moment, when you're living it, when you're there, the adrenaline is pushing you forward and you're under attack or you're fighting and struggling for your rights and you just keep pushing forward. But what I realized was that I had, pushed down deep into my subconscious all of the hurt that went with it. And that's what I've been experiencing, all of that just finally coming out.
Has the pain been more a reflection of, maybe to a certain degree, obviously there was one, repression, most of you were arrested and were being indicted, or was it more just also the rage of the conditions that in many ways at that time were so evident and to a certain degree, still are consistent to what we saw maybe 30 years ago.
Oh, they're all mixed up together. Mm-hmm. No way I could separate them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that I admire a lot of the work that you've done is that you've maintained a sort of track of, at one hand, obviously you've been trying to be a very successful producer for film and television, but at the same time, you've also kept a really strong track to try to recreate Chicano history in a way that can become more popular from the very beginning of, you know, doing the Battle of Gregorio Cortez to the Milagro Beanfield War. It's one of my favorites. And how have you been able to maintain that? How have you been able to maintain that trajectory? Because as we were talking with Edward James Olmos, to a certain time period, there was a lot of people who have made choices who no longer, you know, want to be part of that, don't want to even, like, relive that moment in many ways.
Well, as you said, it's about choices.
Mm-hmm.
And what led me to be a producer, what led me to this industry, was a choice to tell Chicano stories and Chicano history, and to humanize Chicanos and Latinos as three-dimensional people who are like other human beings because of the stereotypes that existed when I started. or the lack of images, more precisely, because the very few that did exist were, of course, stereotypes. Mm-hmm. So the choice that I made at the very beginning of my career, the stand that I took, is what has been propelling me ever since.
I know that you were involved in the making of the Rickham of 29, of August 29th. Have you had an opportunity to, have you guys in that generation been able to meet constantly, see each other constantly, reevaluate what you've done, reevaluate what the movement was able to win, or has it been pretty dispersed in the sense of, you know, on one level, a lot of people, you know, we were just talking earlier with Edward James Olmos that the mayor himself was, I don't know if not a participant, but I'm assuming for sure he was very impacted by the blowouts.
Oh, he was a participant.
Oh, he was. He was.
At Roosevelt.
Oh, he was.
Yeah, yeah, he walked out, and a year later, he led a walk out at Cathedral.
Did he walk in, now that you guys talk walked out, did he walk into the film setting any time when you guys were filming?
He came and supported us at City Hall. The day that we filmed at City Hall, he came out and talked and spent some time with us, yes.
How was the process of, you know, did people get, you know, sent out, you know, to go drink coffee for 2 or 3 hours to meet these real characters, these real live person, meaning who are still alive, I'm assuming, for the actors? How was that process?
The actors had the benefit of the research that was done by the research team and the writers over 5 years, and many of them took the extra effort and went and met the people they were portraying and spent time with them. Certainly Alexa Vega, who plays the lead, spent a lot of time with Paula Crisostomo. Mm-hmm. And I know that the young man who played Carlos Montes or David Sanchez, these young actors all spent time with the people that they were playing, as the young actor who played me did.
Mm-hmm. What's the game plan with the film? I know it's going to show in March of this year. Is there going to be any opportunity to take it out to the schools, or is it going to have any type of theater release where people can see it in that sort of mass?
Well, we're planning those things right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be looking for support to be able to achieve them.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly those are part of our plans.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to go a little bit deeper on the question of how do you, I mean, on one hand it was the actors, but on the other hand is for a public that, you know, we know very little of this history. I mean, in many ways, obviously the black movement, for all obvious reasons for the history of this country and obviously the impact that it had, it's a little bit more, you know, a little bit more reachable for people to understand or been exposed to it. But in many ways, many of the sort of historical moments in Chicano history, particularly in the 60s, are not known or in many ways have eroded, as we recently saw the articles from the LA Times that I essentially felt there were big hit pieces on, you know, the Campesino movement, the UFW movement. How has that process been, or how have you guys thought about reintroducing a time period which seems, you know, almost, I don't know, almost like La La Land because it's so removed from our current sort of situation?
I don't think it's removed at all. Mm. Just recently there were walkouts at Southgate High School because of the problems that were going on there. And I heard that there have been walkouts that have been popping up in other parts of the country just with hearing about that this movie is being made. You know, the social struggle for access to quality education for Latinos is long, long ways from being over. So, for me, the relevancy of this movie is right now.
And do you think that's one of your, was that one of the objectives of the film in making it?
Yes, yes it is. I mean, certainly what we do with this movie is up to us.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a powerful tool of educating youth as to the power that they have as individuals to affect their own lives. Because what happened during the walkouts was that the leaders and the kids that walked out were not given support by their counselors and their teachers and their principals. They were not helped into college. It was other Chicano and Chicano students who were already in college who reached out to them, helped them get in, and their own motivation that came out of the discovery that they had personal power. So that process was a self-realization process that occurred back then in reference to our possibilities to attain an education, which prior to the walkouts, very few students thought it was real that you could go to college and graduate, that it was within the possibilities of what was open to them in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
My classmates just didn't think of it. It was not something that was thought of as real.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, they knew that it was real, if they chose it to be. So that same power of self-realization, of self-empowerment, is available to students today.
How long was the process to, I mean, when was this process, when was this project even in the works? And how was, I mean, I know HBO has been doing some, you know, really important stuff. I mean, I know they've supported some films from South Africa, and they've done some films about the black history, about the black movement. How was that process of even approaching them and talking to them about this project in particular?
Well, we were in development on this project for over 5 years. So it took a while before we developed a screenplay that had all of the drama and cinematic qualities that HBO felt they could support. But they were constant, and we kept at it until we got it, till it worked. Certainly, for me, this had been something that I had decided I wanted to do over 20 years ago. But I knew that before it could become a reality, I needed to become a success as a producer, you know, to establish a track record, establish that I could make a period movie that had a cast of thousands, that was a difficult physical production challenge, and that there would be the talent available, the young actors available, that could populate this movie. We have 20 plus, oh, more than that, young actors, many of whom have never been seen before in a feature film. All young Latino, Latina actors who are brilliant, who have tremendous talent, who have been waiting for a break. And this movie has done that for them. And they did not exist with their level of training and competence 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they're there today. So, you know, things happen on one level, I guess, when they're supposed to happen. And, you know, the delays that we encountered have actually allowed us to make a better movie.
Mm-hmm. So what's next, Mike DeSumo? Any films about the, you know, maybe now we're going to do one on August 29th, or, you know, about the, I know there's been a, I don't know if you've been in this project, but I know there's been one about Cesar Chavez's life that's been floating around for some time.
All of that's on the agenda.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thank you once again, Moctezuma Esparza, for everyone. Again, it's probably March 18th, I heard, right?
That's when it premieres on HBO nationally, and there will be a benefit premiere at the Cinerama Dome, March the 14th, and an invitational screening as well.
Cool. And that will be out soon for people to know through the mediums?
Well, if they're interested in supporting the fundraiser, which mm-hmm. is to support Sal Castro's Chicano Youth Leadership Conference, mm-hmm. which is designed to take kids from the barrio and to motivate them to go to college and be community leaders. We're going to be having that event at Cinerama Dome on March 14th before the invitational screening. And if people want information about that, they can call 213-534-3845 and ask for Danny Otto.
Again, that number is 213-534-3845.
And as for Danny Otto.
Well, thank you again, Moctezuma.
Thank you.